If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Pentecost. Lord, I pray that you would bring a fresh Pentecost to us today. A personal Pentecost for each and every believer. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of my message today is For All Believers. For All Believers. One of the concepts that Scripture makes clear in more than one place is that Holy Spirit baptism is for every believer. It is available for every believer. Some people say, well, that's not for me, or I don't need it, or I don't really understand it. Well, if you don't understand it today, I hope to make it a bit clearer today. And I want to share answers to the question, why should all believers desire the gift of Spirit baptism? Why should all believers desire the gift of Spirit baptism? Why do none of us have to be left out? Why is the Holy Spirit baptism not just for a selected few? Terrible thing to be excluded, isn't it? Terrible thing to be left out. And I, for one, cannot conceive of a God who would say, you know, I have my children down there and I love them, but, you know, I have a special group, the spiritual ones, and I'm going to give them this gift of the fullness, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and they're going to be my supercharged Christians. They're going to be the elite. You know, you can have membership in certain things, and you can have, you know, regular or preferred or elite. They're going to be my elite because I'm going to give them, these chosen ones, this special gift. Does that sound like our God to you? Doesn't to me. And so, we're going to look at this outpouring, this birth of the church in Acts chapter 2, and as I said, answer the question, why should all believers desire the gift of Spirit baptism? The first reason is this: it's supernatural. It's supernatural. In chapter 2, verse 2, it says, as they were gathered together, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. This was a supernatural occurrence. This was not something that they could generate on their own. I said last week that the disciples of Jesus had walked with him and talked with him. They'd seen his miracles. They'd heard him teach profoundly. And he prepared them for ministry, but he said, there's one thing you lack, one thing you need to wait for. Wait in Jerusalem for the gift my Father promised. And it was there that God poured out His Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit had been active and present in the world. In the Old Testament, we see that when a man or a woman of God was called to do something by Almighty God, it says very often that the Spirit of God would come upon them and empower them and enable them at various points of time. But in the New Testament, after the day of Pentecost, things would be different because the Holy Spirit would be poured out so that He would flow from within believers, so that He would not just have to come upon us for a particular moment in time for a particular task, but that He would dwell within us. We can't create that. We can't bring that to pass, but it was a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It says it was a sound of a blowing violent wind. It was like a mighty rushing wind. Have you heard the sound of a mighty wind? You know what it sounds like. And matter of fact, in the Greek, from which the New Testament is translated, the word for wind and the Greek word for wind and the Greek word for spirit are the same word, pneuma. And so wind is often associated with the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that came down and then separated and rested on each one. This phenomenon wasn't repeated after this, but on this day of the birth of the church, something supernatural took place. You know, when God Almighty moves upon you, you know it. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Have you ever felt God move on you? Have you ever felt God touch you? There's a touch that only comes from Almighty God. And this was a supernatural occurrence. This was a divine gift that was being poured out. People in our society have curiosity about the supernatural. Often the dark side of the supernatural, which is not a good thing. But many believers are scared of the supernatural. Listen, the supernatural just means God is at work. Very simple. How many know God is greater than we are? How many know God is far above us? That God can do signs and wonders. God can do the supernatural. Let me tell you, we do not need to fear the supernatural when it comes from Almighty God. Amen? Amen. And so we should desire the gift of Spirit baptism because it's supernatural. It's from God. And it's a gift for us. What's the second reason every believer should desire the gift of Spirit baptism? It's because it's personal. It's personal. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says, all of them, notice the word all, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I said last week that when a believer comes to Jesus Christ, becomes a believer, that the Spirit of God dwells within him or her. But this was something different. They were filled to overflowing. They were imbued with a new power from on high. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. It says they began to speak in other tongues or unlearned languages as the Spirit enabled them. This is the only phenomenon that was repeated, we believe, throughout the New Testament, throughout history, and is present today, speaking in other tongues. It's not the gift itself, but it's what we call in the Assemblies of God the initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so they received this gift. It was personal. How many know we serve a personal God? God is not a one-size-fits-all God, is He? In the sense that He isn't personal. He doesn't know what each of us need as individuals. I said earlier, we need a personal Pentecost. This gift was given to each and every one personally. Aren't you glad this morning that God knows what you need? Amen. And He wants to give you and me a personal Pentecost. If you've never received this gift, he wants to pour out his Spirit on you. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, he wants to give you a fresh infilling today. Hallelujah. It's a personal experience. It's designed for you. You know, some business, they're gonna do work in your house, or they're gonna do something, and they present you with a written proposal. They say, "This is your proposal for you. This is designed specifically for you." I guess that's supposed to make you feel special and forget about the fact that you're shelling out all kinds of money for them. They designed something personally for you. But God doesn't ask anything from you except that he wants to give you a gift. He wants to give you a personal Pentecost, a personal experience. And Erica said it in the beginning of the service today. God has more for each and every one of us. Listen, I thank God. I grew up in Pentecost. I grew up in the church. Some of my earliest memories were, falling asleep late at night in revival services on the pew, because that's where we were. If church was open, we were there. And that's been my life, and I am thankful for it. And I have seen God do awesome things in my personal life, in my family life, in the life of my wife and our children. I've seen God do awesome things in this church, and I am so thankful for it. And I could, you know, write a few books on it, and maybe someday I will. I am so thankful for everything I have seen, everything I have experienced. But you know what? It's not enough, because God has more for me. God has more for you. God has more for this church. Hallelujah. I don't care if it's COVID. I don't care if there's unrest. I don't care about the economy, because God has more for us. God has a personal Pentecost. God wants to do more for you today. I don't know about you, but I want more. Do you want more?
Yes.
Do you want more?
Yes.
Say, I want more.
I want more.
Say, thank you, God, for what you've done. I'll never forget it. But it's not enough. I want more.
I want more.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
It's personal. You know that tagline in the movies, the revenge movies, this time it's personal. When it comes to Holy Spirit, it's personal. Why else should all believers desire the gift of Spirit baptism? It's supernatural, it's personal, and it's miraculous. The intervening verses between verse 4 and verse 11 tell of all the people who were gathered together. They were there for the Jewish feast of Pentecost, and they came together from all different regions, both Jews and converts to Judaism, and they came, and you can read the verses on your own that list all the lands that they came from, and they say, we've come from all these lands, and we hear these men declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. They knew that these people who were speaking in these languages, they hadn't learned them, they hadn't studied them, but they said, we hear them proclaiming the wonders of God in our own languages. It's like we're back home. It was miraculous. It was God moving in a powerful way. How many know the day of miracles is not over? Holy Spirit baptism is the gateway to the miraculous. Say, well, Pastor Tim, can't God do miracles if we don't have this experience? God is sovereign. God can do anything he wants at any time. He doesn't have to ask for permission. So yes, of course, God can do the miraculous at any time. But let me tell you, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it is the gateway to God using you in a greater way in the miraculous. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could be sitting around having coffee with a friend discussing something, and they share a problem, and they have a physical issue, and we just lay hands on them, and they're healed in the name of Jesus? Pastor Tim, I'm not a healing evangelist. Doesn't matter. You're a believer. The Spirit of God can rise up within you. We should desire it because it's miraculous. The day of miracles is not over. God wants to not only do a miracle for you, God wants to do miracles through you. And we don't think like that, do we? What do we think about when we hear the word miracle? Oh, God did such an awesome miracle. And that's wonderful. Do we think in terms of God used me to do a miracle? Not for my glory, not so I can say I did it. As one so-called healing evangelist said, he said, I can't heal a gnat of a headache. You know, I can't do anything. But the Spirit-filled believer can be used in the miraculous. Not, as I said, for our own glory, but to give the glory to God. We should desire the gift of Spirit baptism because it's miraculous. Fourthly, all believers should desire the gift of Spirit baptism because it's transformative. It's transformative. Verse 14 says, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Say, why is this significant? Well, it's significant if you remember what Peter did when Jesus was arrested. Remember what Peter did after the rooster crowed? He denied Jesus three times. He denied he even knew him. And he ran away. And yet, here is Peter, freshly filled with the Holy Spirit, standing up and declaring the word of God. And he was very pointed in what he said. This Jesus who you killed has been raised to life, and now he's poured out this Holy Spirit, which you now see and hear. Peter was a different man. Peter had changed. At one point he denied he knew Jesus. Now when he has this massive crowd, he is standing up declaring who Jesus is. He was, what was the difference? He was transformed. And not only Peter, all the other disciples with him. They had fled, they had left Jesus. Now they are there on the day of Pentecost proclaiming who Jesus is. There's something that happens when the Holy Spirit is poured out in our lives. And when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it brings transformation. It changes us, it transforms us. I've asked our men's director, Rich Clemens, to share about his experience with Spirit baptism and the impact it's had on his life. Rich, come on up and share from your heart what God has done in your life in regard to this. This is going to bless you today. Say, Pastor Tim, I'm tired of you doing all the talking. Okay, well, pay attention.
First, I want to say good morning to everyone and how great it is to be back with our church family. I want to just share a scripture with you. Okay, I'm reading from Romans 8. Romans 8, chapter. I need my readers. Last year I didn't need my readers. This year I need my readers. Welcome to getting old. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What I wanted to share with you is that I think what I struggled with was it seemed mysterious to me how I could be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I did have an experience at another church where I was heading to men's ministry, and we would meet at our home, and we just started praising God, and all of a sudden I just felt this release, and I started speaking in tongues. But what I want to share with you is that, just like all of you all, I pray constantly, and we ask God for a lot of things, but I realized that I didn't have any space to praise God, to just praise him for who he is. And so now what I do is, in addition to asking God for a lot of things like we all do, I find time just to praise God, just for who he is. And then I make space for the Spirit. Because my thinking is, no matter how I praise God, I'll never be able to praise him like the Holy Spirit, right? And so what I want to encourage you all is when you're praising God, find some time, and whether in a group or by yourself, and just start thinking about what Jesus means to you. And just start lifting up words. And then and then just be quiet and just let the Spirit start praising him through his own tongues. And I believe you'll be blessed because I was. That's what I want to share.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Spirit baptism is transformative today. And in Ephesians, Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. And in the original Greek there, the tense is a continuous action. Be being filled with the Spirit. How many know we leak sometimes? See, Spirit baptism, we are filled. We are baptized once, but we are filled many, many times. And being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is important, but it's not a badge of honor. It doesn't mean you've joined a club. It means that you're available to God, and he wants to fill you over and over and over again. So if you're here and you've received this experience, but you've let it wane, you haven't practiced it, as Rich talked about, in your prayer life, I encourage you to open up to God for a fresh filling. And then use that prayer language and pray to God. It will transform your life. What's another reason all believers should desire the gift of Spirit baptism? It's because it's promised. Peter begins to preach his sermon. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, he says this. In the last days, God says, he's quoting the prophet Joel, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Notice again the word all. God keeps his promises. I said, God keeps his promises. And he had promised that he would pour out his Spirit on all people. God promised that, and God fulfills his promises. There's nothing worse than being promised something and expecting it, and it never comes. Anybody ever experienced that? That will never be the case with Almighty God. How many can say God has kept his promises to you? The gift of Spirit baptism is a promise from Almighty God that he would pour out his Spirit on all people. God fulfills his promises, and God will fulfill his promise to you. He made a promise, and he will keep it. Let's just take God at his word, amen? Well, Pastor Tim, that's not for me. Yeah, but God promised it. But Pastor Tim, I don't think I need it, but God promised it. Pastor Tim, I'm really not sure about it. Yeah, but God promised it. What else do we have to be sure of? Can I tell you a little simple formula, a little thing to remember? From God is good. Right? Can you envision your Heavenly Father giving you something, promising you something, and giving you something that's no good for you? Can you? He's promised it. Take God at his word. You know, unlike many human beings, God expects you to take him at his word. God expects you to claim his promises. God expects you to claim what's yours, to believe for it, and to expect it. You ever make a promise to someone in haste? Then it came time to fulfillment. You say to yourself, what have I gotten myself into? Anybody ever do that? Well, I promised I got to do it. We do that sometimes, don't we? God's not like that. God fully knows what he's doing when he makes a promise. He says, take me at my word. This is promised to you. And God will fulfill his promise. But what if I don't receive it? You keep seeking, you will receive it. Pastor, how can you say that? Because God promised it. Because he's faithful. Some of you have had times when you've been in a service like this, you've heard a message like this, and you've prayed to receive this experience and for a time, and you know, and for whatever reason it didn't happen, and you did, well, it's just not for me. Yes, it is for you. How can you say that? Because God promised it. It's promised. What's another reason all believers should desire the gift of Spirit baptism is because it's Christ-centered. It's Christ-centered. Peter began a Pentecost Day sermon about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love what he said in verse 36. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Lord means master. Christ means anointed one or Messiah. This Jesus, who you crucified. This was the same Peter who betrayed him. This Jesus, whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord of Christ. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus prophesied in the Gospels, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, he will speak of me. I said a few minutes ago, we don't receive this gift so we can feel like we're more spiritual. Receiving this doesn't make you super spiritual. Okay? Because it's a gift available to everyone. So how can you be super spiritual more than anybody else if it's available to everybody? Doesn't make you super spiritual. It's a gift for everybody because it has a purpose that Christ is at the center of it. Jesus said he will speak of me. Can I tell you something? We saw last week in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus said when the Spirit of God is poured out on you, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And there are many, we saw in the video, there are many blessings to being Spirit-filled. I said it's the gateway to the miraculous. It's the gateway to the gifts of the Spirit. The fullness of the Spirit provides guidance and wisdom and discernment and power and strength, all those things. But the primary purpose for Spirit baptism is so that we can share Jesus with others. Well, Pastor Tim, can I share Jesus without the experience? Yeah, but you do a better job with the experience. You ever find it hard to speak to folks about Jesus? I think we all do at times. Can I tell you something? That when you're full of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will help you and he will guide you and you'll be sharing Jesus in ways that you never dreamed of, with people you never thought you would share with. Why is that? Because of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I want to be a better witness for Jesus. I want a fresh filling today. This Spirit baptism is Christ-centered. Jesus said, I will pour out my Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will speak of me. I want to be all about Jesus. How about you? I want people who rub shoulders with me to know Jesus, and Spirit baptism helps us to do that. When we are full of the Spirit of God, we are more Christ-centered. What's the final reason I want to share today why all believers should desire the gift of Spirit baptism? It's because it's available. It's available. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Peter in his message said this, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. That about covers it, doesn't it? Peter said the promise is for you, it's for your kids. Oh, and by the way, everybody else, all other believers, all who are far off. So, we can say it's not for me, but the Word of God declares otherwise. It's for you. It's for your children. It's for your grandchildren. It's for your uncle and your aunt and that distant relative. The relative you don't talk to anymore. It's for that person too. It's available. You ever get excited about buying something, ordering something? And you see it, and then you go online to order it, and the order goes through, and then you get an email or a message. I'm sorry, this item is out of stock. We don't know when it will be back in stock. Please choose another item. Thank you for doing business with us, though. It's not available. Yeah, but I read the description. It was perfect. It's not available. Can you imagine seeking for something from God that he promises in his word and the message comes back, I'm sorry, it's not available. Can you imagine God being out of stock? It'll never happen. It's available. It's available here and now. The gift of Spirit baptism. Why should we desire it? Because it's supernatural, it's personal, it's miraculous, it's transformative, it's promised, it's Christ-centered, and it's available. I want to talk for just a couple minutes about how to receive. What are the qualifications to receive? Very simple. Three qualifications. A born-again experience. This is an experience for believers. Secondly, a clean heart. We didn't say a perfect heart, but a clean heart before God. Thirdly, a seeking heart. To receive it, you have to want it. To receive it, you have to want it. God, how many know God doesn't force anything on anybody? Born again experience, a clean heart, a seeking heart. What are the steps to receive? I want to share five with you very quickly. First, draw near to Jesus. Okay? If you're waiting for the phone to ring, you might be interrupted. Draw near to, set distractions aside. Draw near to Jesus. Secondly, ask to receive. Ask. How many know the Lord responds when we ask? Thirdly, begin to praise. Rich talked about it. Just begin to lift up your voice. Fourthly, recognize that the Holy Spirit comes on you. You see, the Bible says if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. Did you know that? Pastor Tim, you know, sometimes I don't feel God near. If you draw near to Him, if you begin to praise Him, the scripture says the Lord inhabits the praise of His people. Amen? Is that the word of God? So He dwells in the midst of praises. So when we begin to praise Him, we begin to draw near to Him. Guess what? He's there. You ever go away from times when you tried to pray for a few minutes? I just don't feel God. God is no... God, where are you? Just begin to lift up His name. Just begin to sing songs of praise. Just begin to draw near to Him. Just begin to tell Him how much you love Him. Just begin to say, Lord, I need You. Lord, I'm calling on You. Lord, I love You. I praise You. And begin to bless His name. Draw near to Him, and the Holy Spirit will come on you. And then the fifth step is you yield your voice to the Spirit's prompting. You yield your voice. Rich talked about his experience. The Holy Spirit, promptings come from within you. And pretty soon, you speak out, but you're not speaking out in your native tongue. You're speaking out in a language you haven't learned. Because the Holy Spirit is praying through you. How many know as good a job as we can do praying, the Holy Spirit can pray through us better? So that's how we receive.